Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a brand new episode of Gaming Uncensored, and I'm not actually sure if we're two men. I think we're like Trovio Bob's listening to the intro. It's the two men using alien technology. I don't know if we're actual men. I think we're like 12-year-olds. We've gotten lost in time or something. Tommy's sitting over there. What's up, man?
Not much. We're old. Like that much is established. Whether or not mature is a whole different thing. But we're definitely old.
That's correct. We're definitely not mature.
I am struggling this morning. I will let you know. I had a 6 month old because it's crazy. My son's already almost 6 months old, which is 6 months old today.
Crap,
yeah,
man.
Today he is 6 months old, which is wild. Who did not want to sleep last night. And so I am running off of about 4 hours of sleep. So I just got done teaching a class and my voice barely made it through the class. So we'll see if it makes it through the podcast now.
That's fun. Wonderful.
The joys of parenthood, which is the greatest thing ever, to be fair. Yeah. But also...
So I did a thing yesterday which I should not have done. I told you that I've been sampling other podcasts and other shows trying to figure out how to make this one better, and I was watching a video podcast yesterday, and I, you know how YouTube has all the ads, I complained about that. Well, yesterday I fell for it, and I bought a pillow off of an ad.
Nice.
Specifically because I have the same issue that you have, and I don't sleep real well, and I don't have the 6 month old as an excuse.
Sure.
So I randomly bought a pillow off of a YouTube ad, and like I feel like I was taken. Like I clicked the submit button and I was like, yeah, that was a huge mistake. So yeah, we can say whatever we want about marketing and how it's junk. Thank you, Michael Wilmon, but it does apparently work.
That is true. Does work. They wouldn't do it if it didn't.
The reason that I bring this stuff up, you were talking about having a lack of energy. Another ad that I saw is for this stuff called Mud. It's apparently a coffee replacement. Have you ever seen that?
Like the mushroom coffee?
I don't. Well, see, my sister is way into the mushroom coffee. I don't know if this Mud stuff. It's the same thing, but apparently it's a replacement for coffee.
I've seen the mushroom coffee a lot. I haven't been brave enough to try it yet, but I'm curious. Like, it's piqued my interest enough that I want to try it. I just love coffee so much, as you see right here with my coffee that is sitting right next to me, that the idea of shifting to non-coffee kind of like feels like it's cheating on coffee. So I just can't get over it, but I'm intrigued and I kind of want to try it. So
my sister swears that we all need the mushroom coffee. It's very healthy. It's very like, if you can afford it, it's a very good thing to have.
This is my other thing with like all the mushroom stuff, because the mushroom stuff, like there's mushroom supplements and like nootropics or whatever and all that.
Yeah,
they all have cordyceps, and I just can't get over like The Last of Us. Like every time I see like it's like lion's mane and cordyceps, I'm like, oop, no. I will not be a clicker. I just can't do it.
I hadn't thought about that, but you're right. That might swear me right off of some mushrooms. Don't need that. Thank you very much. That would like make us run the other way.
Yes. So there you go. That's my other really dumb hesitation for my love of coffee and not wanting to cheat on coffee and not wanting to become a clicker. So I think it's rational. I think it's good reasoning.
It is so good reason because that first episode of The Last of Us where the two experts are sitting there talking about the possibility of some sort of an outbreak, the reason that I feel the same way that you do is because I've seen actual experts talking about something like that. I mean, not like zombies, but like some stuff could happen. I get a little nervous. Yeah. I don't want to become a clicker. Although I think if I became a clicker, at least I'm in a wheelchair. So at least people would get away from me, because I don't think I would be smart enough to like drive the chair. I freely have to admit, I think that whatever malady that they had before goes away, and so
maybe so. Like it takes over like, kind of your body, and so maybe it gets you out of the chair, or maybe you just be a clicker like running into a wall, just tick up. Tick up.
See what I just said about us not being men. Here's the example. We're like, we are. We're 12-year-old boys, and we will be until we die. And we don't really care.
This is true. It's amazing.
Yeah.
This show gives us a reason to be ridiculous kids, which is fun. So
yes, it does.
So thank you for that. So all that said, hey, we are a gaming podcast nominally. We do have some gaming stuff to talk about. I'll mention, I right before we fired up the mics, I was like, there's just not a lot of show notes today. And then just scrolling Twitter for a second, found a piece of news that's actually pretty significant. So we'll talk about that here in a little bit. That has to do with PlayStation VR. We already had a little bit of PlayStation VR news in the show. Now we're going to have more.
And I have some VR news that I think we need to talk about.
Hey, there we go. Suddenly we have a VR show and we didn't even know it. So there we go. We've got a couple other things, including dates for Summer Game Fest, when we're going to get the broadcast, because we don't have E3 anymore, no E3 at all anymore, and so Summer Game Fest it is, and so we'll talk about that. We also have a new Super Mario Brothers movie coming. They're already working on a sequel, which I don't mind.
Why would they not?
It made them a boatload of cash, and it was really pretty good, and so why would they not? So all that said, we do need to also thank the Patreon folks, Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, Sam, Andrew, Luik, Logan, Liz, and Jordan. Thank you all for your support. We appreciate it. We've been playing a lot of Final Fantasy VII Rebirth because of you. And so thank you so much for that. We'll talk more about it here in just a second. If you'd like to support us on Patreon, you can do that. Go by gaminguncensored.com and click that Become a Patron link. If you have a couple bucks to spare and would like to throw it our way to help us both play games and cover the cost of doing a podcast, server hosting, and all that fun stuff, we would greatly appreciate it. So
absolutely would. And we are, as he said, we're playing lots and lots of games to the point that I have to ask, where do you want to start, sir? Because I have some Cyberpunk news as well.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead with the Cyberpunk, and then we'll piggyback some Final Fantasy in there if we need to. We do need to talk about Final Fantasy, because since the last show, we've gotten into the open world part of it, which we talked about on the last show of not being there yet. So we are very much in the open world side of it. But go ahead with Cyberpunk.
Well, I don't want to spend a whole ton of time, but I did a quest yesterday that was just wonderful, and I sort of kind of stumbled into the Coyote, which is Mama Wells's bar. I was doing something else, and I was like, oh, here's another gig over here. And the thing about the map is that it doesn't say on the map where it is. And then so unless you know the map really well, you don't like point at it and go, hey, that's the Coyote.
Right.
And so I had stumbled in there, and it was like two quests. I stumbled in there, and there was a couple of guys hassling a corpo, asking him, basically telling him that he had taken their seeds. And the bartender looks at me and says, get these guys out of here. I don't have time for this. And so I did, and I thought that was really cool. And then I'm getting ready to walk out, and the bartender goes, hey, you got a minute? And I was like, okay, I've not really ever seen that in a video game. So I walk her up to the bar, I sit down, and he goes, I got a job for you. I think my wife is cheating on me. Right, and like you have two options. You know she asks a bunch of questions, and then you have the option to either take it or not.
Right,
and I decided to take it, and right after I take it, Johnny pops up and starts doing this film noir like narration, I guess, is the best way that I can put it, because you've got to follow this woman to wherever she's going to see who she is cheating with. And like for like 15 minutes, he's just like narrating, and she's going, would you shut up? I can just see her walking on the street just talking to herself. And he's just going. Like, he's got the whole film noir thing going with the voice. And, like, it was a musty, dank, dark day outside. And, like, it was the most awesome thing for, like, 20 minutes. And it was one of those that you just stumbled into.
Yeah.
It was fabulous.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
Can I just say that's like my favorite part of modern gaming is moments like that, right? That are not main storyline type things typically, that are not, you know, like, and it's especially rewarding when you truly just stumble upon them, when it's not like you saw in a guide to go check this out or whatever, you know, like you just had, like it's the most immersive feeling aspect of a video game, and it's just wonderful. Cyberpunk is really good about that. Zelda, obviously, Breath of the Wild and Twilight, Twilight Princess, fine too, I guess. Yeah. But Tears of the Kingdom, also very, very good about that, of just rewarding your curiosity, which is something I want to talk about with Final Fantasy in just a second. But Cyberpunk does that so well at times, not constantly, but at times, it is really good about just like, hey, here's just a little aside that it's going to make you smile and happy and just feel like you accomplished something by stumbling upon it.
It really was great. I played for like 4 hours yesterday after not playing for a couple of days. And it's so good.
Yeah.
And they keep, I sent you a text last night and said that there was an update. They keep updating and fixing things. And so it's getting better as we go. And I'm just really happy with it at this point. Yes, does it still have flaws? Absolutely, it does. Are there some things that should work that don't? Sure. Another one that I walked up on that I thought was really interesting. This was earlier in the day. I was in Corporal Plaza, and there's a couple of what appear to be NCPD standing there, and I scan them, and it turns out that they're net runners, and every time that I walk past them, I get the thing like they're looking at me like, if you don't get out of the way, like, this is going to start a fight. It's like, well, this is annoying. Why is the game telling me that these guys don't like me? And so I walk past them, and there's a guy at a vending machine, and all of a sudden the vending machine shorts. The guy gets thrown back. He apparently electrocuted himself, and he's just like in a puddle on the ground. So you walk up and to the machine where he was, and there's just a roll of bills. And so you take one roll of bills, and another one falls out of the machine. So you take the second roll of bills, and another one falls out of the machine. And I'm sitting there going, okay, is this a bug? what is this? And after the third or fourth roll of bills, the machine tries to electrocute me. and of course, I've got the blood pump or whatever, but it was enough of a jolt that it like fritzed her optics.
Yeah.
And like you get that fuzzy optic thing that it does whenever you have a problem. And so I'm sitting there wondering what effect this is going to have down the road that I got zapped by this machine. So I keep walking and go into an alley and stumble on like four or five cops beating up a corpo. And I walk up, and the crazy thing about Cyberpunk is that you have to be careful how you walk into everything. Because if you walk too far into a situation, for some reason, the quest won't trigger. It was one of those things, like the first time I walked up on it, it's obvious on the map that there's a quest there, that you're supposed to find it. But if you walk up on these guys and they get upset before you talk to them, the quest goes away and they attack.
Yeah.
So I had to reload and do it a couple of times. Anyway, they're beating up this guy because he took advantage of a friend of theirs' daughter. And he's like, okay, why don't you guys let me take care of this? Go home. The corpse is going to come after you if you kill this guy. So just let me take care of it. So you wake this guy up. He's like, oh, thank you. So she's asking him what he actually did. And he tells her, and he goes, and she says, you're a piece of slime. Give me all your money. And so I just rousted this dude. And he gets up and he walks off. I'm like, this is fabulous. It's fabulous. It's a, I said several probably a month and a half ago now, I wondered if it was on the level of Skyrim.
Yeah.
And I think it's getting there.
Yeah.
I think the more they patch, I think it's getting there.
Yeah.
I'm really happy with it.
Yeah. I'm so glad you're playing it because it really is just marvelous game, even with its many issues, of which we've talked about a lot. Don't need to get back into now, but it is just marvelous. And so, fantastic. On Final Fantasy VII, we'll talk about that just briefly here too, because also marvelous and loving the heck out of it. But we've, since the last show, essentially went straight into the open world portion and have been open world kind of exploration mode ever since. And so I'm interested in your thoughts on it, because I have thoughts on the kind of open world side of what Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is. But I want to hear what you think first.
So I thought it was interesting how you went into that really quickly. We're going to talk about this, because there's not going to be anything really quick about this. So just Fair. Sit back, relax, and go get some coffee or a snack or whatever. Because I got to be honest, we are into the open world part of it, and it is not, I'll repeat what we said last time we were here, in that it is not the game that we played when we were kids. However, it's getting closer.
Yeah.
And one thing that I noticed is they have taken aspects from every great game in the last 10 years and found a way to put it into Rebirth. I noticed the climbing was from Horizon. The towers are from Breath of the Wild. There's several other little things that they very obviously lifted from other titles, which I love. I'm not a huge fan of the whole world Intel thing just because he's annoying. but otherwise, as a reason for you to be out in the world and exploring and doing things, I dig it. It's very well put together. What I wonder is, like, this is what I have to ask you. Because we talked about last time we were here about sort of being on rails. And even in the open world, it kind of sort of, in a way, feels like it's kind of on rails-ish.
Yep.
Do you feel that way, or is that just me watching it?
No, and it's trying to define that, because I know what you're getting at, and I don't know a better way to say it, but you're right. And so trying to figure out a better way to phrase that. It's not a... At least so far, we'll see if it changes. It's not a dense open world. It's like, go here, do this open world. It's not an explore. Yeah. It's not, this is what I was getting at a little while ago when talking about Cyberpunk and Zelda, where those games reward your curiosity, where you see something in the distance, you're like, what's that? Let's go find out. Or who is that? Let's go talk to them, in the case of Cyberpunk, which is more the way that it usually plays out. Final Fantasy so far, and again, we're still very early in this game, so this could change, but so far isn't that. So far it's, okay, here's, you know, like the tower opens up all the things you can go find those things. They're on your map, you know where they're at, you go to them, you do them kind of thing. There's no real, like, go and just explore and see what happens feel to it. Everything is very not scripted, but scripted. Whoa. Yeah, like, yeah. Not scripted, but it's also just laid out for you. Again, it's not saying just go find stuff. It's this very kind of contrived open world, which isn't a bad thing in and of itself. Let's be clear. I am loving this game. I am jonesing to play it. I am not playing it right now, which I have the last couple of shows, and it's kind of killing me that I'm not right now. I want to play it, and I love the characters. I love the world and all those things, but it's not an open world game that competes with Zelda or Cyberpunk or, you know, great open world games. That's not what it is, and that's not what it's going to do. The combat's super fun. I do like the world intel mechanic, even if Chadley is an annoying character. I like the, like, you can level up stuff, you can go and find, you know, like different enemies and that kind of stuff as a mechanic in the game. Like, those things are fun, the tower things. Like, it gives me purpose, and I like purpose in a game, but it just doesn't have the kind of, it doesn't have the joy of exploration that other open worlds do.
You're a purpose-driven human, as yes. am I. Like, but the thing with this is, and I noticed that you, as we've gone along here, you fast travel a lot, and I understand exactly why you're doing that, because it doesn't seem like there's a reason not to. Like,
I can't at this point figure out why I wouldn't fast travel. Like, at this point, like, I've seen how to get from point A to point B, and there wasn't anything interesting along the way. So once I get there, like, fast travel is fine. And it's also just not very big thus far. Like, everything's kind of close together, at least close enough, especially if you're riding on a chocobo, which is fun. Just as a, like, nerdy, like, we grew up playing Final Fantasy, like, the fact that you get to, like, really ride on a chocobo, like, that mechanic has been in other games, but not like this. Like, that's a fun thing. The fact that the chocobos, like, sniff out stuff for you when you're looking for the transmuter chips, like, that's pretty fun.
Yeah. I was going to say the thing on the chocobo. I don't remember it also being a bloodhound.
Right.
But it's not a bad way to go there. I don't mind that.
It's a fun mechanic.
The other question that I have, and the big memory of the open world from back in the day and the saucers and all that, was going through the process of breeding them to get the black. So the black one was what you wanted.
Right.
And I spent hours trying to get that combination right to get that black one. And I did. So I'm wondering if that's going to appear. If they somehow throw that in there, I'm going to be totally happy with this entire with this entire situation.
You would imagine. The one thing that they've done incredibly well is fan service for, if you played the game before, like, everything that you loved about Final Fantasy VII is still here, with just layers and layers and layers of stuff heaped on top of it.
So a couple of things. One, and I was going to text you on this, and I'm not going to be overly annoying about it, because I know you're wearing headphones and you do closed captioning, which in this game closed captioning is absolutely necessary because the audio mix is awful.
Yeah.
It's really bad. I heard somebody else say that, and then I really started listening, and it's awful. Like, I'm glad that you have captions on, because there are lots of places where the music is just overwhelming. And I have not texted you yet, but I have heard from some research that if you crank the music down to about 7, it's a lot better as far as the audio goes. But they did an awful job, as far as an audio mix.
That makes sense, with the caveat, this is what I'll say in response, is that the music is the best part of the sound.
Yeah,
like, the
true.
Music
I'll
is just so good.
Yes.
And the, like, the voice acting in the game, like, it's cheesy.
It's not,
like,
great.
It's what you would kind of expect from Final Fantasy VII, if it were voiced in its original format. It's cringy a lot of the time. It's just it's campy, which is what the game is. The game is a campy game. Like it kind of fits. It doesn't take itself too seriously. But that said, like there's times I just don't miss out on that. But you're right. The music is really cranked. I might try turning it down, even though the music is the best part.
I'm not saying I don't want to. I still want to hear it.
Of course.
A better mix.
Yes.
Because they did not do a good job with the audio mix, and we're two audio guys sitting here. Every time I sit down to watch YouTube, it just makes me cringe.
Yeah.
Because it's like all you have to do is like turn it down just a little bit. You guys should have done that.
Yep.
To be fair, Cyberpunk sort of has the same problem. I had to turn the music way down in Cyberpunk because there's just music everywhere.
Yeah.
Which is great. It's great music, but if you leave it turned up, it is jarring when you walk in somewhere and there's just heavy metal.
Yes.
Or whatever it is that is going on. Like you're trying to sneak in somewhere and you got death metal going in the background. They're like, okay, this doesn't really work. So I had to tweak the music in Cyberpunk to get that right where it wasn't quite so jarring. So I'm not saying this is a Rebirth thing only.
For sure.
But they definitely have a problem there. The other thing that I wanted to mention is that, and I'm not holding the controller, so I don't know, but it seems to me that as you're in battle and you're doing, you're kind of going about your business, it seems to be hard to keep everybody alive, and not because the fights are difficult, but because it doesn't necessarily, like when you're on a character and you're fighting as Cloud or Aerith or whatever, the game doesn't necessarily control everybody else that you're not on very well.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So
this is an interesting point. It's I don't know what the answer is here. And I think one of the things that they've done that I don't remember in Remake, and so this may be new to Rebirth, is the auto ability materia, which is really nice. What the auto
explain
ability
explain that, because I've seen it, but I don't really understand how it works.
It just makes your
install it.
Yeah, it makes your non-controlled characters use certain abilities on their own when their ATB bar fills up. So for like Tifa, she uses Unrelenting Force or whatever it is, the thing that kind of like powers her up. Barret has one. I don't remember. Anyway, so that if you are focused on one character and the other character's bars fill up, like they could do stuff and utilize that, because otherwise they're just doing like basic attacks the whole time.
Okay.
And if you're not switching around or manually assigning those commands, then they just sit there with that bar full and it's not super helpful. It's like, I don't want the non-player characters to be too autonomous, because I want a reason to have to take control of them to use their abilities and that kind of stuff. And I don't want them just using their abilities all the time and never having the ability to like do them unless I'm controlling them. At the same time, I wish they were smarter in what kind of like attacks they would use, so that they could fill their ATB bars more efficiently and you could use those abilities more. Because there's times that I'm like, oh, I'm about to die. Let me heal with, you know, Aerith, who I, you know, very naturally view as a healer. And then I'm like, go to heal and she has like no bar built up, you know, because like the computer control of her has just been like standing in a corner this whole time. And I'm just like, ah, dang it. So I got to switch to her. I got to spam some some attacks to get the ATB bar filled up, and then I can heal. And then by the time I do that, like, Cloud died or whatever, you know, like, it just is like, there's management with the characters that's potentially could be better. And at the same time, I don't want them to take that control away from me, because I love just switching characters and just playing with the different characters. And like, Red 13 by far is my favorite character. Red 13 was my favorite character in the original game. Yeah. And so like, I would just play as Red 13 the whole time if I could, because I think he's great. And he has by far the most powerful ability thus far, that star dust ray or whatever it is, just annihilates things. It's amazing. But I had to take him out of my party, because I was like, I'm just going to spam Red 13 all the time. Like, I switched my party around, so it's Tifa and Aerith with Cloud, so that I have just some different thing. But I'm about to put Red 13 back in, because I love him. But that's such a fun part of the game, is that you could just embody whatever one of the characters you want at any time, as opposed to the original game that's all turn-based and menu-based. You don't ever feel like you are that character. It's one thing I will say to their choice to make the combat system what it is that you get a much better feel of each individual character when you're playing as them, which I really like.
Can we talk about the menus for a minute? Because while you're playing a game like this, I'm constantly doing research and watching stuff and trying to figure out how the mechanics work and how things, because we do the show. And so I don't have, there's, you know, 500 miles between us. I don't have the control in my hand. I can't ask you questions while you're playing. And so I'm constantly researching. And one thing that I've seen all over YouTube is that the non-Final Fantasy people are really happy about the battle system because there are entire videos about how to minimize your interaction with the menu system.
Yeah.
And like, seriously, there are videos upon videos upon videos about how to set the thing up to where you don't have to deal with the menus. But here's a Jamie and Tommy thing, because I'm going to speak for myself here, but I think you feel the same way. I love the menus. Like, you spend 20, 30 minutes in the menu every time you get new material or new gear. Like you spend 20, 30 minutes every video, like, tweaking things. Like, that's what Final Fantasy VII was.
Yes.
Back in the day. That's why we loved it, because yes, you had all of that. And everybody else on the internet's trying to, okay, how can we configure this so that we don't deal with those? That's why I love it, because the menus and crap are still there.
Yes, I agree. And I love the fact that it's kind of a both and, that you can do it either way, as opposed to an either or, because for us who played Final Fantasy VII originally that way and still have that kind of nostalgia, yeah, I can spend an hour in menus digging through materia and skills and that kind of stuff and looking at stuff. And the same thing is true with combat. Like, you can configure combat so that you never have to pause the combat to go through, the menu system to do abilities, that kind of stuff. You can assign them all to hotkeys. You can switch characters and you know, whatever. But I love doing it through the menus, because I love that break and thinking through stuff. And that feels like Final Fantasy to me. Like, it's this kind of hybrid that both gives me the, like, action, button mashing kind of fun side of it. Like, putting Cloud in Punisher mode and then just annihilating some dudes is really, really fun. But then once he fills up the ATB bar, it's like, then it's like, okay, let's pause and think through now. How do we want to approach this? How can we fill up stagger meters? How can we fill up pressure meters? You know, like, that kind of stuff that for most mobs that you run into doesn't really matter, because in the open world, like, most of the enemies, which is, you know, how Final Fantasy worked, are pretty basic. You do a couple of commands and they're dead. But when you get to those bosses, like, that practice of utilizing some of that process really pays off, because then you know, like, here's how I get to here and do this and whatever. And like, so I try to practice that in those smaller encounters, which I could do when I'm intentional about using the menu system as opposed to just do it hack and slash all the way through it, which I could do that and get through those little encounters really quickly too. But using the menus helps you in those other battles, and I appreciate that.
I think it's interesting that the, for lack of a better word, the millennials that are playing this game that have all the videos on YouTube don't want the menus, and they don't want to, like, that's what it was. And so
right.
I'm watching all of these videos, researching, trying, because again, I can't ask you while you're playing, what about this and what about that? So it's the only way that I can really, that I can really dig into it and figure things out is to watch other stuff as I'm going. And you're probably annoyed because I'm constantly texting you with like, try this or try
right.
that. I saw it on some random YouTube video.
Yeah, which is good. I like knowing that other stuff is out there too. It's handy. But at the same time, like, it's also just nice to have a game that, like, you can pick up and play. It just feels good, which is something that's hard to quantify. Like, it's hard to say why it feels good, but it just feels good. Like, the game just feels good to play. And that's a design thing that doesn't always come naturally to games. But for this, even as far as they strayed from the original kind of way the game was put together 25 years ago, like, it just feels good, and they deserve a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, they did a nice job. And granted, every time that you fired, this is not one of those things where I'm letting videos stack.
Right.
Like the first, once I get to the gameplay portion of my day, and I'm trying to decide, you know, what I'm going to do, whether I'm going to come in my office and play Cyberpunk, the first thing I do is fire up YouTube and look and see, did he put videos up? Because I'm going to do that first.
Yeah.
That's where we're like, I'm literally consuming everything as fast as you can put it up, because I think it is really, really interesting.
Yeah.
That we're going through this and that it is working so well. I still have that constant fear of, okay, it's going to go off the rails and you know, they're going to do something that is going to disappoint me. And then I'm going to have to rail on that for a show and a half. But so far they haven't. So
yeah. Yeah, I'm hopeful that it stay. I mean, we know we love it. It's just a matter of degrees at this point, and so far they've done a good job of keeping it very, very entertaining and in our sweet spot. And so hopefully they'll do that throughout. But even if they don't, it's going to be enough of amazingness that we're going to enjoy the heck out of it, and that's okay. Not going to change.
One thing real quick before we move. They talk in this iteration and rebirth, they talk more about the Republic,
yes,
than they ever did in the original game, which I really appreciate. You did a thing
I do
in the
too.
Last video where you had to help a lady get a part for a windmill, and I was, it's a very basic thing, and I really dig it.
Yeah. I agree. I really like the kind of deeper history that you get to do with the game in 2024 than you got to do with the game in 1997, whatever it was. Yeah. And so, I agree 100% on that. I really, really like that part of it. So,
yeah.
All that said, we do have a little bit of news. Go by gamingcensored.com, because even with a little bit of news, we won't get through it all. But there are show notes there if you want to see what we didn't talk about. But like I said, I saw this literally as we fired up the mics doing the show. We already had some PlayStation VR news, which takes on a lot of different context with this new PlayStation VR news, which is that Sony has reportedly halted production of PlayStation VR 2. They have stopped making it right now because they can't sell them because they don't have anything out there for them. And this is, a bigger question on VR, we can have a VR discussion for sure, because it's interesting to kind of take stock.
The other thing I want to talk to you about that actually has to do with this. So we're going to get to that in a minute.
VR is in an interesting place. It exists. It's here. And yeah, it hasn't like taken off mainstream. And we've had it for, I mean, 5, 6, 7 years at this point that VR has been fairly mainstream. And the fact that Sony isn't able to get this to take off in a bigger way thus far, it's noticeable, and some of it is lack of content, but some of it is just the practicality of VR, and VR is hard, trying to make it work is hard. The other bit of news that had to do with PlayStation VR that we're going to talk about later in the show, or probably not talk about in the show because it honestly wasn't that big of a deal show notes-wise, but now makes a lot more sense. Sony is apparently working on PC support for the PlayStation VR 2, which makes a lot of sense. Like, if you could plug the thing into a PC as well and have it function as both a PlayStation headset but also a PC headset, that makes the product more desirable because it's now got more content available to it. It's got more diversified uses for it. And so maybe we see kind of a relaunch of PlayStation VR 2. But thus far, the thing is a massive failure. I don't know any other way you can say it other than a massive failure. Just really, really, really bombed.
So, and it's kind of, this is on the same vein, but last night I had 30 minutes to kill and you had not had time to put up more video. And so I'm like, I have 30 minutes to kill. I don't have time to really watch anything on TV. I'll just go to YouTube and see what I can find out. I'd subscribed to a channel called Digital Trends, which is a guy who reviews TVs. His name is Caleb Dennison. And any time that you and I are talking about getting new screens of any kind, this is the guy that I go listen to because he's really good. He's really professional. And so I clicked on his channel and I noticed that he had something about the Apple Vision Pro, and specifically, was it good for movies and TV and that kind of thing? And so I sat down and I watched a half hour video about the Apple Vision Pro, and he says it's not perfect, but he says the spatial audio in the Apple Vision Pro, especially with AirPods Pro, is absolutely fantastic. And the video is not perfect, but he's like, it's real good. It's a nice way to watch a movie. And I, you know, there was a while on this show that we talked about VR ad nauseum because it was something that excited us. And then Duff has sent us like 4 headsets and none of them really work the way that we need them to work. Like, I can't use them because the controllers and they're cumbersome and they're like, none of them really work the way that we need them to work. And I have, on purpose, avoided information about the Apple Vision Pro because I'm like, okay, it's $3,500. I love Apple. If there was ever an impulse buy to make, this is it. And I'm not going to do that. Like, I'm not going to suck myself down that rabbit hole because I don't need this. And then I saw that video of him talking about TV and movies on the Apple Vision Pro, specifically with Disney Plus. He said James Cameron has Titanic on there and the 2 Avatar movies with variable frame rate instead of sticking at the 24 frames per second. The Apple Vision Pro does this thing with variable frame rate where it goes up and down as needed for better motion and smoother. Anyway, he says it's fantastic.
Yeah.
He says it's going to change the way people are going to start making 3D movie content, because this is how we are going to watch 3D movies. Like, I remember back in the day when we started the show, everybody was talking about 3D TVs. And you got a 3D TV and you get the stupid glasses and you sit on your couch and you watch 3D movie. Well, that didn't really take off. And anyway, now he's saying that Hollywood needs to start making 3D content for this thing instead of just adapting it, because it's fantastic. You live in an Apple world because of your job. You have multiple Apple products. You have not said a word to me about the Apple Vision Pro. And I'm just wondering how long we have to wait before that thing becomes something that we have to have. Because he said something. He said it was a nightmare for him to test, because apparently they are wholly and completely designed for one user. Like, yeah. they measure your eyes. They do, like, I've told you, my eyes are weird with VR and I have a hard time focusing. Apparently, Apple has found a way to measure your eyes and figure out where your focal point is. And it apparently addresses several issues with VR that I have with cerebral palsy. And so my question to you is, if audio and video content is that good right now, granted there's not much of it, but apparently Disney Plus has knocked it out of the park on the Apple Vision Pro, if it's that good right now, how long is it going to be before we have to have one of these? Take the price out of it, because neither one of us have any business buying one of these things. But I'm sitting here watching this thing, wondering to myself, how long is it going to be before you and I are jonesing to have one in our houses?
Yeah. I mean, I think the answer is you can't take the price out of it, right? Like, that's the thing, is I would love to have one right now. I think that this is the most practical, like, future of VR. Like, VR is going to be made by a device like this that is standalone, that is augmented reality, that is, you know, immersive, but also not disassociative from the world around you. Right. I think that's the key. I think that's one of the reasons that I just do so little in VR is that I just can't put on a headset and, like, leave the world around me at any point in my life right now. Like, I just have too many other things that rely on my attention that VR doesn't let you multitask at all.
So let me ask you, that you said something, if it wasn't about the price, you would have one right now. What, I have not watched any reviews. I haven't done anything. What would you do with it if you had it?
Like, I have
a Mac sitting right here. You have a Mac sitting right there. Look, that's my thing. Like, if I put up the money for this thing, would I have another use for it? And granted, I'm sure I could surf around YouTube and watch videos and,
right,
find people to say, hey, it's good for this or it's good for that. But part of the reason I pose the question is there something right now that you and I would use it every day for, or even once a week? Like, you and I both have headsets in our house that have gathered dust for months and months and months. And then we come together and we get to fire them up for a couple hours, and then they gather some more dust for months and months and months. I'm not buying another one unless I can find a reasonable use for it on a regular basis.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a fair point, and I don't have a good practical use for it all the time. But it's just a cool enough product that I would love to be able to play with it. But for $3,500, like, there's just no practical reason to do that. Like, it is all about the cost to me. That's been the VR problem from the beginning, is that it's prohibitively expensive for a novelty. There is going to come a point where it is no longer novelty. I used this example, but just because I teach this class right before we do this show on a regular basis, I'm teaching an audio history class, and I've used the kind of analogy of VR in that class multiple times, of how kind of audio technology started with the phonograph in the late 1800s. Like, it was a novelty product. There wasn't any practical use for it because it was in part prohibitively expensive. It was in part finicky. It was hard to use. Like, if you didn't have it like in a professional controlled situation, it was easy to mess up or not get good results or whatever. But it was this kind of cool gimmicky thing that people wanted to experience because it was a novelty that was new. The truest version of the term, right? Of what novelty is. And eventually you got the technology to catch up with the practicality and you know, the rest is history as far as audio production goes. I think that's going to be true of virtual reality and augmented reality in how it will eventually become part of our everyday lives. What that looks like exactly is, I would argue, probably more along the lines of what Apple Vision is, but not in big ski goggles kind of headset, but in more what like Google Glass was, and the more wearing glasses that have, you know, that kind of augmented reality talking to you about your world kind of thing. I think that is where we will get to when this gets practical. $3,500 for it right now isn't practical, but in 10 or 15 years, we're probably looking back at the Apple Vision going, okay, that was the point where we really saw what this would become, but it's just not there yet.
The other thing I wanted to mention that is a huge selling point for me, which is why I would say if you're out there and you want to buy us one, or Apple, if you're listening and you want to send us one, we will take it.
For sure.
Without question, we no doubt will review it. So if somebody wants to send us one, we will take it, gamingUncensored.com, because the Apple Vision Pro has something going for it that the others don't, in that, as far as I can tell, there's not a controller. It's hand motion.
Right.
And as bad as my hands are, I think I can do that.
Yes.
I think that is something that I can reasonably manipulate. So for that reason, I'm excited about it. I'm like you. Like, I would like to have one tomorrow just to play with, to talk about on this show, if it were not for the price point. The thing that they apparently do with measuring focal points and all of that, for somebody like me that has cerebral palsy and the eyes are weird, that's fabulous. You don't just put it on your head and just go. It's not a one size fits all thing. Like, it's very much geared to a single user.
Yeah.
And I think that's where you have to do this.
Like, for sure.
It's like Tony Stark and Jarvis. You know, Like nobody was going to walk into his lab and start talking to Jarvis, because Jarvis was specifically geared for Tony Stark. And so that kind of excites me about the Vision Pro. And I'm just like, I'm not going to spend that money because it's too much money. However, I think this is definitely the next step.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. I mean, I think that's where it's going, and we've got a long way before we get there. And PlayStation VR, to bring it back around, is evidence of that. It's not there. And that just isn't a viable product right now, as much as I would love for it to be, as much as they would love for it to be. It just isn't. And that's okay. Technology has to push forward with non-viable commercial products before they get viable. That almost always happens. That's where we're at right now. But we're still in that. We've been in that for 6-7 years at this point, which feels like it's really stalled.
I want just to mention that I think a lot of it has to do with the amount of power required to make these things work well.
Yes.
Because there was a Cyberpunk update yesterday. I already said that. But I hate every time it updates because it breaks several things and mods and whatever.
Sure.
So anyway, after I installed the update, I ran the benchmark because that's what I do every time I update drivers or every time they update, I run the benchmark. And I got like 120 frames a second in the benchmark. And I was like, this is not right. Something is turned off, right? And so I dug through the settings and path tracing was turned off, which path tracing is a bell that I don't think you necessarily have to have turned on for ray tracing to look good. But I have a 4070. Like, I'm going to turn it all on.
Of course.
Just let it go. And if I lose 50 frames a second, so be it. Like, it's a single player game. We've already talked about that.
Yeah.
My point being is that even the cards that are available now, even if you buy a 4090, it's just barely enough power to run Cyberpunk the way that it needs to be run. Like, I have a 4070 and I've turned on path tracing last night, and I read the description and it was like, to use this, you really need a 4070 Ti or above. And the thought that I had was, who can actually afford that? Like, so it's what it is, especially with VR, it's the amount of power that's available to run the thing for what it costs. That's why it costs what it does, because you have to have the other parts of the setup to make it work, right?
Like, sure.
And so I really think it has a lot to do. And back to the PlayStation, the reason I started this whole story is we love the PlayStation 5. I think the PlayStation 5 is, apologies to Microsoft, is the most powerful console on the planet. I think they use their technology as well as you can possibly utilize it.
Yes.
To get the most out of it. But I think part of the reason the PlayStation VR struggles is because I think the PlayStation 5 offers just barely enough power.
See, I would argue your point there. Because the reason it struggles is because nobody wants it.
Yeah.
It's not because it's not powerful enough, because like the experience of VR is cool even on like an Oculus, you know, like, which is less powerful than this is that there's not a rationale to utilize even the power that exists. Like, we can't scale it up if there's no interest at a lower scale, right? Like, that's the, like, it's in this weird like limbo right now where, of course, we would love for it to be these more powerful systems that are amped up even higher and give you more immersion and more realism. But there's not a rationale for the current power level that we have available to us to utilize it. And I don't think that making it shinier gets you there, right? Like, you got to get us there and then you got to make it shinier. It's like this chicken and egg thing. I don't disagree that the power is going to have to continue to scale. But like, again, like the VR experiences you and I have done, which again are on older, more inferior tech, have been phenomenally cool, right? Like super, super cool, very pretty, very immersive, all that kind of stuff. But we don't go back to it. And that's the problem is you got to give us a compelling reason to go back. And then once you got us hooked, that's when the power side of it becomes such a bigger issue, because you got to keep giving us bigger and better. Which will become a thing in VR, but we just don't have step one to get to step two yet, because it's not compelling enough to do on a regular basis.
Just real quick, back on the Cyberpunk thing, I think part of the problem that Cyberpunk has power-wise is that apologies to CDPR, but I don't think Cyberpunk is optimized. I don't think you should have to have a 4090 to run Cyberpunk 2077 flat out with everything turned on at 120 frames a second. I think there's some optimization that needs to happen there. And I think VR has the same issue.
Yes.
Like you got to get smarter with using the power that you have.
Yes. Yeah. Raw power and utilized power are two very different things. And what we're seeing, fortunately, is much better use of that machine learning and that kind of stuff that's being utilized to give us better performance out of similar or even lesser hardware than what it was before is fantastic. And that will be a big part, I think, of VR success in the future, is that it's going to have to be more optimized. But you got to be compelling first. And that's where the lack is right now. And until they get us a reason to be there all the time, it just isn't a thing. And maybe, again, the Vision Pro is the kind of first step in that in a more mainstream way. But, like, it's $3,500, and so it's not mainstream at $3,500. You can't be. Like, that is inaccessible to almost everybody. But at least it's getting the idea out there, and then you can ramp it up from there, potentially.
Yeah. Absolutely. Totally agree. I feel like you, I feel like we're still 5 years out. Like I, if one of these shows up on my door, I'm obviously going to be ecstatic, but I can't think of a single daily use for it.
Yeah.
Like I can't. That said, there was probably a couple of years ago where I couldn't come up with a single daily use for a 35-inch curved screen. And now at this point, I'm not going back.
Like, sure.
If I buy another screen, it ain't going to be a regular screen. It's going to be a better version of what I've already got, because I've gotten used to the greatness of what this screen is.
Yeah.
So...
agreed. Once it establishes itself as a thing, then everything changes. But
yeah,
first it has to establish itself as a thing. So that being said, lots of show notes we can get to, as I mentioned. Summer Game Fest is June 7th, by the way. I teased that. That's an easy one to put out there, June 7th, which is a Friday, interestingly enough. It will be a nice Friday evening. I think it's like 8 o'clock Central Time or something like that. So prime time Friday game showcase, which will be fun. So Frostpunk 2 is coming July 25th, which is pretty cool.
Nice.
And Ghost of Tsushima is coming to PC, which is also cool. I had a release date on that, and then I lost it. And so sometime in the next few months, if I could find that release date, I would tell you when Ghost of Tsushima coming to PC, which is cool. May 16th. There it is. May
16th. We have no time to talk about this, but I have to bring it up just for a second. I fired up Steam when Cyberpunk updated yesterday, and I noticed that Diablo 4 is now available on Steam, which I think it's been there a while, but it just occurred to me, like, that's weird. You had to go to Blizzard to get Diablo. Like, I know it's been there for a while, but by a while, I mean, it's only been a few months that Blizzard has been offering Diablo 4 on Steam, I think. And if you're going to offer that game on Steam, what reason is there for downloading Battle.net at this point? Like, I mean, that's what I wondered about, was like, if Diablo 4 had been available on Steam from day one, I'm just buying it on Steam. But I'm assuming that once you buy it and download it, then you have to still download the Battle.net client and log in and all that garbage. And so I wondered your thoughts on that, if you had considered buying Diablo on Steam as opposed to Battle.net the way that we always have?
No, because it's going to be on Game Pass, and so yeah. I'm not paying money for it, more than I'm already paying a subscription cost. But Battle.net's going away anyway, thank God. I think it's still, I haven't played Diablo in any recent times, but I'm assuming you still got to go through Battle.net to play it right now, but soon I don't think you will. And again, I imagine if you buy it off Steam, you probably still have to get the Battle.net client to play it. But it can't go away fast enough. I just have never, ever, ever liked Battle.net.
Although I have to say, if you're going to do this, you have to. Microsoft had a thing this week where Starfield was unlaunchable, and Reddit went crazy for a couple of days because there were people wanting to play the game on Game Pass, and they're like, I'm paying for this, and right. I just sat down to play the game. It's not available. I'm getting a white screen. If you're going to do things this way, you can't have that happen.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You can't.
That's very, very fair. And that's the challenge of it. That's for any service game, which is every game basically at this point, which is its own can of worms that we'll get into another time. So that said, go by the show notes, gamingandcensored.com. See what we missed, because there are a few things over there.
If you would like to talk to us, you can definitely do that, gamingandcensored@gmail.com or the voicemail line at
509-GAME-210. It still exists. Use it.
Yes, please, because we will play what you send us. Will Moody, I'm looking at you. I know you're listening. I know you're a big important dude now. Send us a freaking voicemail.
Yeah.
And that applies to some of the rest of you people that are bigger deals than us at this point.
Yes.
Send us a freaking voicemail, 509-GAME-210. Go by the Facebook page, go by the Patreon. Lots of stuff going on. There's all kinds of discussion always happening. I said last show that I'm a little bit worried about Sam because I haven't seen Sam in a while, and so that's still going on. I haven't seen Sam in a while, so hey Sam, if you're alive out there, let us know.
We need you to resurface.
Yeah, because I'm getting a little nervous. if you're in your own little world building guitars, that's awesome too. I repeat, we would both like to have one.
For sure.
So yeah, there's that. But there are plenty of ways to interact. Tommy is on X. I am on X. I'm trying not to call it Twitter because it's not Twitter anymore.
It's still Twitter to me.
We are on all of the things. We are both on Instagram for reasons that we don't understand. We will start an Instagram for the show when somebody says, yeah, I'll do that. Otherwise, yes. There will not be an Instagram for the show. So if you would like to help us have an Instagram presence for this show, please pipe up and let us know, because we're not going to do it.
Yeah.
So all of that said, sir, is there anything else?
No, I think we're good.
All right, I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. And for one more week, we are Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gamingandcensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.